May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. By the second Sunday of Advent, many people are starting to quietly panic that there are only 2 weeks left until Christmas. Or maybe not so quietly panic. It seems that this time of year there are always at least 10 extra things to do each day and less time in which to do them. For many of us, the pace of life speeds up this season, just at the same time that the church invites us to slow down. Particularly if you have children or youth, the pace this time of year can be absolutely frantic and exhausting. Advent, then, is a season of extremes. This year, I think it started right after Halloween. In the world around us, we've been bombarded with all the trappings of the Christmas season. Advertisements for things to buy, Christmas lights and decorations, Christmas music in stores and on the radio. We may have nostalgia for the kind of Christmas we had as a child, or perhaps nostalgia for something that we never had, that is impossible, unattainable, the perfect family Christmas. The world invites us to focus on all the material things that we want to have around us or that we want to buy for those we love. The message the world gives us in this season is more, more, more. More is better. Most of us, myself included, eat more, go to more parties, buy more, decorate more. We do more of everything. That's the one extreme in the culture. But if we are suffering this season, if we are suffering, grieving the death of a loved one, or a divorce, or another huge loss in our life, this time of year can be particularly painful when it seems, at least, that everyone around us is happy and joyful, which is not the case, of course. Extremes in Advent. And so the church invites us to slow down. I know that probably sounds impossible to most of you. It sounds impossible to me most days in Advent. Slow down. But just by being here in this space together, in this worship service, you are taking that invitation. The church takes advantage of all the 4 weeks of Advent to prepare us for the joy of Christmas. You've probably noticed that we do not bring out the Christmas hymns or Christmas decorations at all in Advent. We wait. We light one candle and then two, three, and four as the weeks progress. And our worship in Advent is spare and penitential. We have more silence. There is rejoicing in Advent, but it is rejoicing in a minor key. There is longing, but it is the longing expressed by that great hymn that we sang some verses from O come, Emmanuel. In Advent, the longing is for the world to be freed from war and violence and sorrow. The longing for Emmanuel, God with us. In Advent, the Church invites us to focus on God's desires for us, on God's promises, not our own. So while some of us are quietly or not so quietly panicking about all we have on our to-do lists, I think it's a good thing that on the second Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist always shows up. Because in the midst of all this chaos around us, it takes something or someone as wild as John the Baptist to get our attention. Now, John the Baptist was not a person that the powerful of the time followed. He was an eccentric with a wild message from God, and most likely ignored by many people who lived comfortable lives. He was in the wilderness, on the margins, and yet people came to him from the cities. John was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." John the Baptist appears in all four of the Gospels, and all of them tell us that we have to wrestle with him and his message before we can move on out of Advent. John's message to us is repent. He tells us that we are going the wrong way, and it is time to turn around. John the Baptist makes everybody uncomfortable. He is an equal opportunity discomforter, if I can make up that word. I like it. An equal opportunity discomforter. We're not supposed to be comfortable hearing his words. "You brood of vipers," he says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We need him, though. We need to be shaken up a bit in Advent, whether from the fog of perfect Christmas anxiety or just our own self-centeredness. John the Baptist reminds us over and over that we need to stop and take stock of ourselves, of our spiritual lives, from time to time. And John the Baptist always, always points away from himself towards Christ. "One who is more powerful than I is coming after me," he tells us. "I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." We who have been baptized into Christ are called to remember our baptism in Advent. We are called to remember whose we are. And John the Baptist can help us do that. I was talking this week to a friend of mine, a clergy colleague, who has a background in art history. And he told me something that I did not know about the famous statue, the Pietà, Michelangelo's Pietà, the famous statue of Mary holding the crucified body of Christ, her son. Michelangelo must have had the words of Isaiah in his mind when he sculpted that masterpiece. Remember, we heard them earlier. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is what my friend told me that I did not know. In Michelangelo's sculpture, in the back of the sculpture, one of Christ's feet rests on a stump of a tree. And out of that stump is growing a shoot. Death and life together. And as Michelangelo knew, and as we know too, even in death, especially in death, Christ brings us new life. And so, even though John the Baptist makes me uncomfortable, makes me squirm a little bit, I give thanks for him on this second Sunday of Advent because he points us to Christ. And I'll pray this prayer again that came from the lighting of the Advent candle. We thank you, merciful Judge, for words and warnings of your servants, the prophets. Grant us courage to take to heart their chastisements, that we may hear as well the message of your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.